The current negotiations are taking place under the auspices of President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry. They began in July of this past year with a great success that could be given both to Obama and Kerry to get the parties in the room, because no Israeli-Palestinian negotiations had taken place for 4 years. So just bringing them to the table was quite an accomplishment, and Kerry set a time frame of 9 months during which time they would work on putting out what's being called now a framework agreement. The framework agreement has to provide bridging proposals put down by the United States after negotiating more or less the United States with Israel and the United States with the Palestinians. There's actually been very little Israeli-Palestinian negotiations going on. It's been more or less the secretary and his team, led by Ambassador Martin Indyk, going back and forth between the parties to come up with these bridging proposals. Presumably by the end of April, when the 9 month period is over, there will be an American bridging proposal for a framework agreement on the table. And if there's enough substance of agreement between the parties at that time, presumably the parties will agree to negotiate until the end of 2014, a full comprehensive peace agreement between Israel and Palestine.
Now, having said all that, with this April agreement, the end of 2014 agreement, you know, especially as, you know, into it as you are more than most of us.
Right.
I mean, are you on the hopeful side? Is this more of the same?
I am on the hopeful side. This is what's different now than in every other time in the past is, it seems to me, we've arrived at the situation that the late Professor Roger Fisher, the great negotiations expert from Harvard University, called a BATNA, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. Neither Israel nor the Palestinians have a BATNA today. There is no alternative to a negotiated agreement. Every other outcome is bad for Israel, is bad for the Palestinians, and this is perhaps the first time we've come to that clear conclusion, and seems that both the leaders, Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Abbas on the Palestinian side, understand that every possible alternative to a negotiated agreement is bad for them. That, with the amazing dedication, commitment, and persistence of Secretary Kerry and his team, gives me reason to hope. We have the parties talking the hardcore issues in more depth than ever before. We are unfortunately left in a situation where the decision-making is really in the hands of two men. Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Abbas are the two loneliest men in the world today, who have to make decisions which are literally life and death decisions. And the decisions that they make, either way they go, are life and death decisions. And they have to make those decisions today. They can't avoid making them. Any way that they go is going to be a decision. There is no room for a no decision. No decision is a decision as well. And the consequences are very, very severe.
I mean, there's a lot of issues, and again, I think in this country we don't really understand them at the depths of the, or with the emotion that Israelis, if it's their issue, or Palestinians, or, you know, in both cases, things like settlements, things like the feeling of insecurity, even though if we over here can't see what they're talking about, or Hamas' role, or acceptance, or, you know, how they fit in. In your opinion, are the right issues on the table? Are the right issues being negotiated? Or are we now getting to the right issues, hard issues now?
The core issues are known. The core issues were written in the first Oslo agreement that was signed in September 1993, which was an interim agreement which set out a process for the parties to negotiate the core issues. The core issues were listed in that brief agreement that they signed, and they've been on the table since. There have been serious negotiations on them in Camp David in July of 2000 that failed. It came again in January of 2001 at the Taba negotiations, then was renewed once again by President Bush in the Annapolis summit, in a process that continued afterwards with direct negotiations between then Prime Minister Olmert and President Abbas that almost led to an agreement. And here we're back to them. The issues have been on the table throughout this period of time. My assessment is that what we actually have is greater acceptance by the publics on both sides of the concessions that need to be made. If we have an agreement that's on the table that's perceived as being fair by both parties, we will have a majority of 60 to 70% support from both publics behind the agreement. While now, because of the long-term failure, a 20-year negotiation with failed results that have produced a great deal of violence and suffering, has created a situation on both sides where we have the same 60-70% majority of Israelis and Palestinians who simply don't believe it's possible. We've lost confidence in the ability to make peace. We've lost confidence in the idea that there actually might be a partner on the other side. We have a mirror image of public opinion on both sides that say, we want peace, but we have no partner for peace on the other side. And the irony is that if there was an agreement, both sides would support it. We just have to get there.
Is there something that is really the sticking point? I mean, can you really say that, or is it too really complex to say that?
I think it's a package deal. It's a package deal that involves very difficult concessions, if you want to. But what are the two hardest concessions for each side to make? I would say for the Israelis, it's the issue of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem needs to be a shared city, a capital city for two countries. In my opinion, it has to remain an open city, not a city divided with walls and fences, but a city in which sovereignty is divided and remains open. So we're actually creating a new model that doesn't exist anywhere in the world. It has to be created in Jerusalem. For the Palestinians, the most difficult concession will be on the recognition that the refugees will not be going back to their original homes, which are Israel today, that the right of return, if implemented, will be primarily to the state of Palestine and not to the state of Israel. And this is a very difficult concession for them to make.